On April 24, 2024, Father Voskin addressed a genocide commemoration vigil at UCLA. The commemoration was organized by the Armenian Student Associations of the University of Southern California and the University of California, Los Angeles. Here is his message in its entirety.
And that Armenian will be in a museum. Can you imagine today at UCLA, there's Armenians that are getting together and remembering our past, and we are alive, you are creating, you are talking. This to us is the miracle that we need to celebrate today, that they tried, but this is the life that we have. And that's what I want to share with you today, because, you know, I've been involved with genocide studies since I was a small child. I lost my one Hori Akbar, and my uncle in the genocide. He was 2 years old. My grandmother was taking him out, and he caught malaria and these horrible, horrible diseases. And she had to dig a ditch in the middle of the desert and bury him, and then continue. And you start wondering, like, you know, what kind of world is this that we're at, where a young mother, this is her major concern? And yet she comes down on her knees and she prays a prayer which has guided me too. She says, I've lost everything. Everything that I thought was real is now gone. I can't lose my senses. I can't lose my faith. And it was a prayer that became so real in her life. It guided her to a miracle that she came to America. She had children. My father became a pharmacist. She had a grandson who became a priest. And, you know, this is like the celebration that life doesn't end where everybody tells you it ends. It ends when God tells you it ends. And for us, we're still here. We're still a force to be reckoned with. I've been doing these commemorations when I remember on the first row, there would be survivors. My grandparents would be in the survivor section, and they'd ask people to get up and speak. And slowly, those numbers dwindled. Those rows became a row. They became a few chairs. Now we have documentarians who sit. Tonight we heard Kerem speak. We have people who have studied the genocide. They are the people that are now standing around us and telling us. I am very happy to tell you, proud and pleased to tell you, that this morning at 9 a.m., Epostle.net, the electronic ministry of the Armenian Church, unveiled and launched the first ever immersive exhibition of its kind that is accessible anywhere 24/7, 365, named The Spirit of Ararat. Here stand structures from Khachkars to monasteries to songs from the arts, demonstrating the human spirit. They are preserved in Web 3.0, Metaverse 360, spatial audio and photogrammetry, items that can only be experienced and enjoyed. They cannot be destroyed. So thank you, technology. Thank you, Apostle. But thankfully, there are more and more volumes now to speak about the horrors of genocide. But sadly, the word genocide is still being used to describe man's ultimate intolerance for his fellow man. In 1915, that was the beginning of a wave of violence and evil that continues today, as was mentioned several times. And as we all know, what happened in Artsakh last September is just a continuation of the same evil that silenced the world. And when I say silence the world, I don't know if you've ever seen that graphic. It was very popular when we were kids. There were three monkeys. One monkey would close his eyes. The other monkey would close his ears. The third one would close his mouth. Because if you see no evil, you hear no evil, you don't need to speak about it. That's what the world's doing right now. And we don't want to be part of it. I want to share with you a quick story. In 2006, I had an opportunity to visit Rwanda with a group of educators from USC. It was a decade after their genocide that had ravaged their country. 800,000 people had died in Rwanda in a course of 100 days. It was an important trip for me to take because I grew up hearing these stories of genocidal violence. The more I heard, the more I read, the more I wanted to know, how does violence like this take place? These heinous crimes take place and committed so overtly, especially in the modern world where we're supposed to be understanding each other. How do these things happen? How do they go out and do these things? I figured by going to Rwanda 10 years after the genocide, I could maybe understand what it was like in Armenia, 1925, 10 years after our genocide. What I found was more than I could have ever asked for. I found not only the answers to my questions, but I found out an answer to what it means to be a child of the Armenian genocide and what that means to me today, 100 years removed from the event. The stories of the Rwandans were remarkably similar to the stories that I had heard from my grandparents. They were all the same. In the middle of the night, the gendarmes, the guards, the police would come, they'd take the men, they'd exile them, they'd kill them, they'd slaughter them, they'd rape the women in front of their children, then they'd kill the women in front of the children. They'd take their children aside, they'd put them into slavery, into different places. Same story. We in Armenia refer to the Euphrates, Garmir Yeprad, the Red Euphrates. They referred to the Red Nile because it was filled with bodies and blood. It was like I was seeing our story in Rwanda. And one story after the other was the same. And I saw that for the first time, I was really colorblind. Because the only difference between the Rwandans and me was the color of our skin. And I realized that's no big difference. We're all equal. We're all the same people. We're all the same children of God. And it made me realize what it means. All wars are civil wars for God. We're all of his children. It's enough of these boundaries that we put up, these phony borders that we put up, and then kill one another for these things. In Rwanda, I found myself straddling two genocides, the first genocide of the 20th century and the last genocide of the 20th century. And there in the capital city of Kigali, there's a big museum. You walk in there, you know what's the first exhibit you see? Dedicated to the Armenian genocide. Huge, in the middle of Rwanda. We are the heroes for them. They kept coming up to me. We are the granddaddy of all genocides. And sadly, tragically, we weren't the last. There was Germany, there was Ethiopia, Bosnia, there was Cambodia, Rwanda, and even into the 21st century with Darfur. And the stories are all the same. And the Armenian story has a unique place. And this is where I found what it means for us to remember the Armenian genocide today. As a successor of the Armenian genocide survivors, the responsibility now is mine. If I'm going to refer to the Armenian genocide as the first, then I, and I hope we, have a responsibility to the first to call out, to point out, to actively protest and work for understanding that leads to peace. If the world is silent, let's first point the finger at us as we are if we are not voicing our objection to what is happening to others. Faith implies action. You cannot mourn a genocide without actively fighting against one. But this fight has to be on new terms. You can't fight fire with fire. You're in an academic area. 1x plus 1x equals 2x. It doesn't equal 0x. Fighting and fighting will only give you more fighting. Fire and fire gives you more fire. You fight fire with water, with a hose. There has to be an alternative. And the time has come for us to toss out our victim mentality. We are in the Easter season. We claim to be the OG followers of the resurrected Christ. We need to understand that the victory is ours. Not because politicians recognize genocide. Don't fool yourselves. We don't need any validation of the authenticity of the fact of genocide. Just as African Americans don't need to have it proved that there was slavery, Japanese Americans don't need to have it proved that there were internment camps. The Armenian genocide is a reality, and it always has been. You are victorious because you are here today, not because of politics, but by the miracle that has made us arrive alive, creating our tomorrows. We side and will side wherever there is injustice or evil, whether it's in Gaza, in the Congo, in Armenia. And let it be very clear, this is not about anything else except humanitarian issues. We are always on the side of humanity. That's who Armenians are. April 24th is a date to renew all of us, our vow for peace, through understanding, vigilance, and most of all, love toward all humanity. I'm going to end now with a prayer, and this is a prayer that was written on the occasion of the 100th anniversary. I'm going to read the English translation, and then I will ask if we can all join in the recitation of our Lord's Prayer.
Have a moment of silence.
Christ, who crowns the saints, willingly take those who are in awe of you and look with love and sweetness on your creation. With your holiness, hear us. By the intercession of the holy Asfadazim and the supplications of your saints, especially the holy martyrs of the Armenian genocide, who completed their life for faith and the homeland, hear us and have mercy. Amen. Orkial der Medisus Christos, amen. Hayrmer kur erginesias. May you all be blessed. May the Armenian nation be blessed. May humanity be blessed with peace and love. God bless you all.